The first poet is from the land down under, and his poetry is from the land above under, David Adias.
Yeah. Hi, everyone. Yeah, thanks for staying. Tangents. The way Michael Hellman used to wake up 10 miles past his destination, or the rabbi's conversation meandered through its solipsistic maze of alleys to arches or doorways or corners amid curtains and billowing cloth and the restless babble of a bazaar where I may have wandered once in a distant youth, or a different life with promises and hopes as illusory as they were enchanting, and the spell of which I'd like to find within myself unbroken, or at least hinted at, like all those snippets of conversation remembered and floating somewhere in their own little bubbles of importance as having somehow shaped the man I am before memory spun time on its axis and now became then, or reading Kundera's Life is Elsewhere, or Calvino's If on a Winter's Night a Traveller became a flicker of reminiscence questioned by the vanishing of one of them from my bookshelves, uncollectible in the end like everything else, and the tendrils of love reaching and taking me everywhere, or...
Thank you. I'm Michelle Maher from the North Hills, and thank you so much for giving me a chance to read. This first poem is called Five or Six Therapists Ago. Five or six therapists ago, one of the best I ever had said she could help, but this scared me. We had just met, and she couldn't see the cage inside my chest where black snakes knotted and twisted like those at a strip shopping mall when I was three and it rained hard, so that the fair was canceled and men and women were busy loading animals back into trucks. I stood in a puddle watching the black snakes lay quietly in their wire crate, the rainbow oily water still and fresh. I was afraid, but couldn't move away until my mother pulled me towards the car. What will you do when your fingertips brush the wire mesh and the snakes pull and glide against each other, a knot of rippling skin? I will help you if I can. Thank you. The last poem is entitled Early Summer. I saw a cardinal's nest left over from the year before, storm-tossed and shredded, lodged between trunk and branch of a dogwood by our bedroom window. It was left empty, not reused the way some nests are, though occasionally a wood thrush will hop in and then fly to another branch, singing loudly. When I was five or six, I buried my face in the skirt of my mother's flower dress while she washed a white vase at the kitchen sink. The water was too hot, and it shattered in her hands, leaves of red unfolding on her arms from wrist to elbow, and I ran out of the room. Even now, to see her cut or bloodied in the smallest way makes me ill. I would like to touch the hands of those I once knew the way I touch my mother's hands, thin and veined as dogwood leaves, and then go out into the evening as the wind rises and gather branches torn from trees in last night's storm. It is the end of the world. No, it is early summer. Thank you.
Good evening. We'll be reading here July 22nd. Jimmy, Tony Norman, Kayla Sargison, and Christine Telfer, and
Noah Garrett.
Noah Garrett. Isn't there a Kevin on there, too? Okay.
Kevin Finn.
Excuse me, Kevin. 2 days before that, I'm going to be driving a car over in a vintage Grand Prix. This last year was the first year that I ever did it, although when my father died when I was 19, I inherited a 50 Buick and a set of tools, a real cool aunt, and that was it, baby. So, multi-genre piece, Driving Pittsburgh. You awaken Sunday before the race, think about concrete barriers like riot police, shoulder to shoulder at the far end of Panther Hollow Bridge. Your Heelys traveling three times the legal limit, cars are trying to pass. The Jersey barriers scribe the outer edge of the far sweeper. When you ask Zappa if he takes it flat out, he laughs. You don't have the balls. Tap the brakes, wait the front wheels, cross the crown to good camber, tires hold. Kiss the apex at the sidewalk to the coffee shop. Beyond, corner workers in white furled flags are wings of yellow, red, black, white. Then the Westinghouse pond, a Porsche locks his front brakes, smoke pouring off. The 356 climbs the hay bales and balances in air. Flags unfurl. Get over, slow it, get it over. Yellow flag, yellow. Like the race course in the park named after her, Mary Elizabeth Croghan Shenley was unique. In 1883, at the age of 16, she eloped with an army captain 26 years her senior. She was on track to become one of the wealthiest American women of her time. Her family disowned her. The 2.3-mile course at Shenley is the only vintage street race in the United States and has five major elevation changes, a boulevard, a bridge, hairpins and sweepers, curbs, and all roads are crowned, not cambered. Serpentine Drive, with two 280-degree turns, winds downhill a half a mile under a canopy of trees between hand-built stone walls from the Works Progress Administration. Then it twists to the front straight and another wall of Jersey barriers. If you need runoff room, go somewhere else to race. This course takes autocross precision and off-road mentality, but here there is the beauty of high summer in a park over 120 years old. Shenley rolls across 400 urban acres of trees in western Pennsylvania's undulations. In 1897, the first automobile race was held here, somewhere. The horse race track was built in 1907, and the grandstands and stables burnt in the 70s. They say you could smell burnt horse flesh in Squirrel Hill. The Pittsburgh Vintage Grand Prix started in 1982 and today is billed as a 10-day festival of races, car shows, and motorsports event. 210,000 people participate and $350,000 was donated to charity this year. There is here community and compassion. Sunday afternoon before your race, shade trees and the skirl of bagpipes in the pits, Carnegie's legacy, steel, libraries, labor violence, a university. Group four to the starting grid, saddle up. Kevin rides down, shakes the old man's hand, grid marshal's hand in the air, 5 minutes to go, zip and Velcro, Nomex, helmet, glasses, belts tightened, gloves, almost 90 degrees and like humidity. So what? The marshal's two fingers in the air. Can't hear your engine fire up. Check the tack and 60 pounds of oil pressure. Driver's fists in the air. 1 minute, running and ready to go. Move out. The hay bale Porsche gritted behind. He'll sneak by on lap two. On lap three at Westinghouse Bend, he locks them up again but doesn't get airborne. You almost sneak by, then lose him, but you catch him again. Try to shake him, breaking late into the hay bale chicane. He stays steady. You back down. Drop it into second gear through the chicane, chirp the tires, impress everyone but the Porsche. Up on the golf course, homeboys. Later they claimed they cheered. You'd say the same thing. You blinked when the front end lost it at the bend below their tent. Did they see? Lap 7, the temp gauge climbs above 210. Ease off. The plan, just make the checkered. Around the corner, 280, turn at serpentine, the corner worker, an angel is close enough inside the wall to lean out almost and kiss your helmet, heading toward the S's. Then down the track, the red flag thrown like an angry sun stops you. The picture in a newspaper shows the driver of the Elva Courier in the middle of turn 20, arms thrown out of the cockpit as in supplication. To his right, a Healey 100 has spun to avoid him. In photo bottom, the concrete edge of the Jersey barrier. The Healey 3000 and I, right out of picture top, heading toward confusion. Later, when they unload the twisted white Courier in the pits, there is silence. The driver, okay, ponders his next move. The diesel rollback idles, black exhaust. Monday morning, there is little left of Sunday's theater. Pedestrian cars hustle obediently to work. Concrete barriers disappear before sunset Sunday. And in Monday's soft rain, crushed hay bales look melted like the cake in MacArthur Park. At the breakfast table, Jade is still wearing the fuchsia-colored crew wristband. What's that for? I want to show... Do we have an announcement? Penn's lost, 2-1, boo. Okay, hold on there, I'm gonna be done in two more paragraphs. Yesterday at turn 20, she had the camera, excuse me. At the breakfast table, Jade is still wearing the fuchsia-colored crew wristband. What's that for? I wanna show the girls at work. Yesterday at turn 20, she had the camera on automatic and got all the action before retreating up the hill. The white Elva, way offline, hit the outside wall. After impact, Jade said, the car flew to the middle of the track. In November, after the first good snow has melted, the Elva's skid marks, a tangent to the curve, still visible at turn 20. Maybe it was brain fade or mechanical, like Persig says in Zen and the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance, a 10-cent part worth the whole vehicle that put him into the wall. Apex Zappa, turn 6, doesn't conjure worries. You learn in school the first time in a different bend, drive a few feet, a few hundred revs more. If you overcook 6, you'll know quickly. Thinking of, okay, let's see. Okay. I didn't read last year, so. Bye-bye. In 1887, Robert Bigelow, the father of Pittsburgh Parks, sent an emissary to England to convince Mary to donate 300 acres and sell 104 more to the city of Pittsburgh to create this fin de siècle jewel of an urban American park. Mary Elizabeth's clan had kissed and made up with Mary. There's a sculpture pool dedicated to her at the entrance near the University of Pittsburgh campus. Shenley never saw the fountain or the park that bears her name. In the pool, Pan, the god of nature, is charmed by sweet harmony, playing her lyre. Legend has it, though, the third weekend in July, the nymph's lyre is stilled, and the cloven hoof deity, Pan, looks toward the sound of race cars bearing down on the bend at the far end of Panther Hollow Bridge. Thank you. Thank you.